I'm Austin Lugo.
I'm Andrew Harp.
This is With Nothing to Say. And let's talk about movies. With over 3,000 films log, Andrew and I, best friends since middle school, have dedicated our lives to watching, making, and talking about movies. Each week, Andrew and I handpick a movie he's seen, I've seen, or neither of us have seen, and dive deep into anything and everything to wannabe cinephiles could ever think of. From horror to dramedy, we do it all. So join us as we talk about everything movies, and maybe you too can become a bona fide cinephile.
Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Chapter 2, Part 9, Anvidar. He had spent the better part of the day moving from ruin to ruin, hoping to hide himself and escape the unbearable heat of the Sundaran sun. After many hours, he decided to rest, taking refuge within a lone building, one of the few which seemed to be free of signs of dilapidation. He stooped low, using his arm to get purchase on what had once been a marble table. As he sat there, resting, flickers of alien memories rushed into his mind. Like broken panes of glass, none a complete moment, yet each fragment revealed a chilling picture unto him. Scenes of murder on the road. Horrendous acts of violence and carnage atop a sea vessel. Death and destruction left in his wake. Yet he felt he had not been the one to enact it. And all the while, a boy, someone he had known only briefly, had been the solitary witness.
Sigmir, why him? What happened to him?
He saw the young Ven's face plain as day, yet with a look of terror struck upon his visage, eyes wide in the shadows of some forgotten underground. Something terrible had happened. Was he to blame? Perhaps now was not the time to rest. He needed to get back to Kalimdor, to Vengart. Yet how? He was certain he could not survive the nights lost in the dunes and wastes of this blighted nation, let alone make the walk. Hunger weighed heavily on his mind, and the need for water was always present.
Waiting here will gain me no ground. It's time to move.
He began to rise, meaning to search out the voices he had heard earlier, when the sound of armored footfalls broke the silence. They approached slow but steady in their pace, stopping as an imposing shadow fell across the doorway, barring his exit.
I am unarmed, but if you wish combat, I warn you now I am no easy prey. Show yourself, and we can talk.
Stepping into the opening, blocking all but the highest point, a black plate-clad warrior, helm featureless, its eye slits shadowed and menacing. Heat roars in a haze from its metal armor, the waves distorting the air around it. Without warning, it came for him, swinging a great axe with tremendous force and speed. Barely escaping, Amvidar barreled off the table, the wide axe head shattering it upon impact.
I don't know who you are, but you will die here for that. Make peace with whatever gods you pray to.
Wordless, it came again, lumbering in its movement but deadly within its accuracy. His movements were slower than expected, and he felt the bite of the blade as it glanced off his shoulder. Seeing no other option, he charged. Grasping hold of the axe's hilt, hoping to force his attacker to the ground. It did not work. The armored combatant slammed him down, driving the weapon's pommel into his spine and knocking the breath from the Icon of War. It was then, as he rolled onto his side, did he recognize the warrior. A revenant. A revenant in service to Khazalan. Rage burned within him, and without thinking, he booted out the creature's knee plate. The force driving it to the ground, its heavy axe clattering from its grasp as it fell. Now was his moment. He took up the weapon, and in a well-versed motion, rose up and chopped down hard, burying the axe deep into its helm. Wrenching the weapon free, he then made for the door, only to have his heel grasped and pulled back, sending him tumbling outside. It was now Amvidar's turn to lose the weapon, and so he came, crawling forth on his belly in an attempt to retrieve it. Only instead, he felt his head forced into the sand, stomped down under the heel of a boot. Every amount of strength within him was used to push off this second attacker and move away. But as he did so, it was then he saw the futility. Three others had come forth, each as terrifying and formidable as the last. From the doorway, he heard his initial attacker approach and the scraping of its war axe.
Hold up, hold up. Well, well. What do we have here, then? He doesn't look like a native.
He looks like a man about to soil himself.
Now that I can agree with. So, whoever you are, what are you doing skulking around here? I should ask you the same. Where is your master? So you're from Kalindor, by the sounds of it.
Hey, wait, Griggan. He hasn't escaped off the boat, has he?
There's no way we'd miss this one. He's a big lump. But speaking of the boat, we could use those broad shoulders of his to row with the others. Besides, they're half dead anyway. He can pick up the slack. Where is your master? And just what do you know of our master, eh? Vile filth. I know whom you serve. Drag him away. Khazalan will deal with him when he returns.
He felt the iron-like grip upon his heels as he was taken in hand by two of the revenants. He tried to kick out or grasp at something as he was dragged away. Dragged away to whatever fate awaited him at the hands of Khazalan. Hrothgar. The climb was steep, yet manageable, even in his war gear. To his left and just behind, Egomar strode forth as if wearing a cloth tunic, and not his hefty chain and leather armor. He smiled as the younger warrior slowed his pace, allowing for Hrothgar to hold the lead. The respect was always there, not that he would tolerate anything else.
Hrothgar, do you see a sally port? It must be on the other side, or well hidden. We'll take a frontal approach once we're atop. Is that wise? Unless we find the sally and can break it down, what choice do we have?
Thanks, Peter Galador. There's no archers on those battlements.
This isn't a siege, Egomar.
As far as we know.
Hrothgar frowned at his own bullheaded decision. Egomar was right. They had blindly gone off to investigate, though any action to serve his god was justification enough for him, and he would not question it further. He turned to face the others who ascended behind.
Halfdan, Osbert, go that way and find the sally port. Listen for my call. We will return to the boat immediately. Do not hesitate and stay together. We have no idea what we will find in a place such as this.
As you say, Hrothgar.
The rest followed the curtain wall round, keeping tight to the brickwork, hoping to hide themselves from view. The ground sloped dangerously steep, and one false footing could be a disaster for the most unfortunate amongst them. Drawing closer to the front, he halted the men.
Hold! Hold! I hear something!
What do you see, Hrothgar? Don't keep us waiting.
See for yourself.
He moved forward, giving space and allowing the others to do likewise.
Protector, preserve us. What are those things?
As I said, witchcraft. Abominations, Egomar.
This is why we should have helped Kalendor, even if it was just out of our preservation. Damn the king, and damn his rule.
You know my feelings, Egomar. I do not think we should confront this head-on, though. Can you see Halfdan and Osbert?
They have not returned. We should be able to handle their numbers, if that is your worry.
We need fire, Egomar. The dead must be burned. It is the only way to finish them truly.
Well, Halfdan has the torches and flint.
I would...
Wait, Hrothgar. Look. Under the causeway. Beneath that bridge. What do you think happened there?
Hrothgar could not immediately see what his second was pointing at. He rubbed his eyes, cursing his aging vision. It was not as sharp as it once had been.
I cannot see what you mean.
There.
Near the rubble.
Exactly that. It looks like... Well, it looks like a way in. Why it's scorched around there, though, that's a question. What is its purpose?
We will either have to be swift, tackle these creatures, or be invisible.
When have you shied away from a fight, Wolfhammer?
I told you, I am not that man anymore.
So we sneak?
Never.
With his axe already in hand, he unsheathed his sword, stepping forth. As he went, his men followed suit, 10 of them, Stepping aside, he allowed space for them to form their shield wall.
Hold! Let them come to us!
It took mere moments before they were noticed. A straggler, wearing a tattered Kalendor soldier uniform, staggered towards them. Then two more came, and before long, the horde had slowly changed its focus from the keep to that of the Elantirian warriors. Noise of approaching movement from his right signaled the return of Halfdan and Osbert.
Halfdan, set aflame the torches and bring them now.
There was more unseen, hidden amongst the undead numbers. They swarmed upon the shield wall as men hacked them down, pushing hard into their numbers.
Hrothgar! Hrothgar!
Come with me and burn them!
Hrothgar ran to the end of the shield wall, hacking down one of the creatures who sought to flank his men, its rib cage stabbed through with a blade, pinning the walking corpse to the ground. His warrior plunged the flaming torch into the tattered remains. Hrothgar, slamming into another, sent it to the ground with a sickening clatter.
It's not burning. They're soaked.
Do we have oil?
Not enough for all of them.
Damn this.
In a moment of anger and frustration, he came forward, moving Halfdan aside, and with a flurry of downward strikes, hacked off its limbs.
Fall back to the bridge. Egilmar, lead them to the opening.
Kriya.
She lay there upon the bloodstained floor, writhing in agony as she clutched her belly, her hands enveloped by Orin's as the hunter knelt beside her, speaking words she did not hear.
It's okay, Kriya. It's gonna be okay. Hold in, lass. Hold on. Just stay with me. Just stay with me.
She had not felt such pain in a very long time. During her encounter with the creature, she had felt her powers were diminished. It was only now had she realized as to what extent. Her protective spells had failed her. Her magical prowess had been weakened. It could only be from the Lordstone's blighting influence.
It's okay, Kriya.
Why did I hear? I'm not ready.
Hold on.
I'm not ready.
That door won't hold forever.
We need to bind her wound. Come on.
We need to go now.
Help me.
She watched as the hunter tore off his cloak and hurriedly sliced a wide strip to use as bandage.
No. Don't worry.
She tried to protest, but the pain racked through her. She knew the nature of such a wound, and it would require more than bandages and bed rest.
I cannot allow this. Kalidor, preserve me.
Move, Rowan. I'll get her up. We're gonna bandage you up, lass. It's gonna hurt, but we need to stop this bleeding.
As they lifted her, she grabbed Orin, staring into his eyes as she shook her head at him.
Listen, lass. We need to do this.
Fucking Artyrian.
She clearly doesn't want this. Something's wrong here.
With every ounce of effort she had, she reached for the copper box within Rowan's tunic. She needed to be away from the Lordstone, and if she could not move herself, then it must go.
What are you doing?
Take it away from me.
She tried to wave her hand, hoping the gesture would be enough for him to understand.
This door is not going to last. Stay calm, Kriya. Please.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know.
She needs you to open the door.
She could not see the speaker, nor did she recognize the voice.
Hold where you are, woman.
A red sword of Amkyron need not fear me.
Then you need to tell us who you are.
In this moment, I am an ally, son of Arteria, and the only one who can help your friend. She is in great pain.
She felt Orin let her go, and saw through tear-filled eyes him draw back on his bow.
No friend of mine keeps the company of wolves. Tell us who you are, what you're doing here.
It is fine. Stay calm, Cunamalgus. Perhaps it is better I show you my intentions. Please open the door.
You have no idea what's outside there.
I know exactly what awaits, and I cannot allow that abomination to exist a moment longer. It must be stopped before I can help your friend.
Just who was this woman? She wanted to turn and face the stranger, but the pain was all-consuming. Not since her days enslaved in the Drakenweald had she felt this vulnerable.
He's coming through! We need to get out, now!
Is it your doing? Did you create that thing out there?
The creature you fear has mortally wounded her. And at this very moment, it corrodes her flesh, eating away from inside. This dark magic seeks to turn her into its master's will. And if you do not allow me to act, then she will perish. You have my oath. I wish no harm to any of you. By the jewel moons, I swear it.
I don't care who you are, or even if you run with those flea-ridden mongrels. But if you can help her, then please do it. But I swear on this fucking boar, and if you hurt her, I'll fill your body with so many arrows you look like a fucking quiver. Do you understand?
Then open the doors.
Do it, Cormac.
She saw her walk by, barefooted and calm. A grey robe hung loose and ill-fitting upon an aged frame. The stranger's white hair was braided in two long plaits, each hanging low to her waist. Her staff, which she appeared not to need for support in walking, was topped with twin moons. Immediately, she recognized it.
A priestess? A priestess of Aramby?
The first of two wolves came with her, huge and grey. The second, identical but for a missing eye, paused to growl at Orin as it passed. The hunter mockingly growled back at the beast. She noted he had not loosened his grip upon his bow.
If you will, good red sword.
You're all fucking mad. Fucking mad.
Just do it, Cormac!
She did not see what Cormac had barred the door with, nor did she see him remove it. The sound of it hitting the floor was then quickly blocked out as the door itself burst open, shattering to kindling as the creature came inside.
The Starless Pura Avendor!
From what little she could make out from within the all-enveloping light, the creature floated above them, suspended amongst the thick rafters of the inner fortress. It writhed and struggled as its bony limbs thrashed, whilst it began to break apart. The falling of liquid and flesh slapped upon the stone beneath it, covering her legs and boots and causing the others to shield themselves from the spatter. When it was done, when the light had faded, when the screeching had stopped, the woman lowered her staff. She turned to face Kriya with an unreadable look upon her visage.
By the mother of the stars.
What did I just see?
How?
You said you'd heal her. Hurry.
And so I shall. Balance must be restored.
Somehow, she already felt better. Perhaps the agony she felt was linked to the creature itself, yet she could not say for certain. The wolves came first. Each sat beside Kriya, obedient and motionless. The stranger then knelt beside her, placing one palm facing down and the other upwards upon Kriya's wound.
Estalis pura sanguis. Estalis pura sanguis.
Almost the very moment she placed hands upon her did she begin to feel revived, reinvigorated almost.
Who are you?
I am Morgran, herald of he that is the dark, champion of she that is the light, high druid of the balance, and chosen of Armun Vey. It is my pleasure to meet you, Kriya, daughter of Olaf Drun.
Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please consider joining me and look for a link in the show notes.